This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Opening half hour of the day brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over every vehicle. And a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. Routine to difficult, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We start out the day with Scott Francie on the show, the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Phillies. Scott, welcome back. Great to hear you.
Good to be back. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. Long seasons bring with them ups and downs. In your opinion, when you've seen the Phillies have down moments, how have they handled it, and what's then brought them back?
They've handled everything pretty much the same way. Just watching them, it's the same every day. Most of these guys are the exact same people every day. They don't like to lose, and they don't want to lose. You know, if they lose one, they don't want to lose two. But when they come to work, you know, you see these guys before games and in the clubhouse or whatever. Whatever happened the night before, however good or however bad, they're on to the next game. And they're pretty focused. It's been fun to watch.
Trey Turner's been able to get back into the lineup off, 6 weeks or so on the IL. He's hitting .348. What's the difference you see in Trey Turner now compared to the one that was fighting his way through last year until the Phillies fans gave them that great moment?
I think as much as anything, I mean, he's a guy that works a lot on his swing. And I just think he's timed up right now, honestly. He obviously can do a lot of things. He's got tremendous power because he can generate unbelievable bat speed. Also hit with two strikes. He can also leg out an infield hit. And he's doing it all right now offensively. And, he's kind of in that place where hitters get, once they get their mechanics figured out and get to where they want to be and get to where they feel comfortable, right now he's just kind of on cruise control. And it's been fun to watch. It's been amazing to watch, actually. For a guy who was out that long, yeah, and to come right away with multi-hit game after multi-hit game, I think it's pretty impressive what he's doing.
What kind of job has Caleb Cotham done as the pitching coach? We always hear about, you know, about what Rob does and so forth. You're around it every day, so his name does come up. But in general, his name doesn't come up. What kind of job has he done?
He's done a very good job. I think they have found a little balance here between, you know, Caleb and Brian Kaplan, his director of pitching. Yep. And both of them, you know, work pretty hard to, you know, to make sure that that guys are on a certain trajectory, and they look at, yeah, they understand pitching, they understand the body, they understand, you know, mechanics of it all. I think they're able to make corrections there. I think they deserve a lot of credit because, I mean, there's no doubt there are players who are better now than they were when they first got here, when they debuted, or whatnot. I mean, you're not going to find too many guys who have, quote-unquote, regressed, under their leadership. So, I'm always one. I certainly think highlighting the coaches is important because these guys do a ton of work. I mean, they're the first ones there. And they're ready to work whenever the player steps into work. And the players do the work, there's no doubt, but the coaches deserve a lot of credit because they're right alongside them every step of the way.
You have starters logging innings, eating up innings. Doesn't happen in every organization. Have they done anything different subtly as a coaching staff between starts that's allowed these pitchers to stay strong out on the mound?
No, they haven't. I mean, they're taking a real broad approach between not just the stuff that's happening on the mound, like in the game, how many pitches are thrown, how many innings are thrown, these kinds of things. But they look at it in a more of a world view, or if you want to use the term holistic view. I mean, they're looking at the way the body moves. They're looking at the nutrition. They're looking at the sleep. They're looking at all these different things.
Right.
I know there's a lot of eye rolls and whatever, but there's a lot of science going on. And they have somebody who's sort of in charge, and let's say it's player, you know, player Jones, and somebody's in charge of your overall, right? And how all these things interconnect between, you know, what you're eating, what you're drinking, what your sleep, you know, patterns like, how much work you're putting in, how much work you're doing between starts. There's obviously the statistical analysis that they do, but there's all that biomechanical analysis that they do that's all part of the same sort of umbrella. And, they still seem pretty strong. They all seem like pretty strong pitchers, to be perfectly honest. Late in games, we're seeing, you know, higher velocities. And that mm-hmm. can only be attributable to the fact that they are that they're strong right now, midway through the season. They've been taken care of.
The other part, too, is there's 93 games so far played by the Phillies to this point. Hoffman's pitched in 40. Jose Alvarado's pitched in 40. Strom's pitched in 38. He's going to the All-Star game. Soto's pitched in 36. What kind of job has Rob Thompson done actually making sure that these guys are getting enough work because his starters are extending innings?
Yeah. There have been a lot of days when he'll tell me before a game, you know, I'll ask him, is anybody down? You know, is anybody unavailable? And he'll be like, no, man, I got three guys I got to get into the game. Like, I got to get them some work somehow.
Yep.
Because if, you know, like, you know, you run into a situation like, you know, you're on a Sunday. Let's say Monday's off. And this guy's been pitching 4 days. And if I don't get him in the game today, it's going to be 6 days before he pitches in a game. Because we won't be at it till Tuesday. Well, you know, Zach Wheeler's throwing on Tuesday, and he's going to go seven. So there's not a lot of innings to go around. So, yes, I think he's done the best that he can to try to keep guys not only, sharp and working enough, but also not overworked for the big guns, the Hoffmans, Alvarado, Strom, those kind of guys. I think the proof will be in the results down the stretch and in October.
No
but it
yep.
feels like these guys are going to be healthy and strong and ready to kind of kick it into high gear once they get to crunch time.
What have you seen from Castellanos over the past couple of weeks?
A little better balance. I think he's in a decent spot right now. He doesn't seem to be chasing as much. But, you know, Castellanos has been a frustrating player to watch and certainly a tough player to predict these last, you know, couple years, and in this year in particular. It's been tough to predict, you know, one game to the next or one series to the next or one trip to the next, what you're going to get, because it's been some wild swings, but I think all in all, he's in a little better place now, certainly than he was the first 2 months. And I think he's in a better spot in the lineup now, too. He's not quite so middle of the order. He's kind of back half of the order, and I think that suits where he's at in his career right now.
Well, JT's a special player behind the plate. We know that. And we know the batting averages are not great for the guys that have stepped in for them. But what kind of job have they done behind the plate handling the staff?
Great. No complaints, I don't think, at all from anybody. They've been in really good hands. And, yes, you're right, JT's a tough one to lose. They've lost him for over a month now. But of all the things that could have gone wrong, to have that kind of depth ready to go, have Stubbs step in and play the way he has, to have Marshawn waiting in the wings at AAA. This guy can really catch. I mean, he can really catch and throw. And now that he's starting to put it together with the bat, you know, maybe you got something there in Marshawn. You know, we've heard about him. We've seen him a little bit over the last few years. He's mostly been in the minors or mostly been hurt. And now he's getting a chance to play, and he's healthy. And he's showing what he can do. So I think they've been really happy with what they've gotten in JT's absence.
You get to see a terrific team on an everyday basis. Now, we'll see how the postseason plays out. But we know they're a terrific team, and you see them on an everyday basis. Of the teams they have played against, there have been a couple where you walked out of the booth at the end of the series and said, you know, that's a really good team, too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And they're the ones you would probably guess.
Yeah.
I feel that way about the Dodgers this week, but the Dodgers aren't at full strength. I mean, they're a different team with Mookie Betts, and if they get some of their starters back, it's a different equation with the Dodgers. And they have some guys that haven't had a great first half that are capable of more offensively. So I think that may, you know, play out in the second half. You know, of course, they're still leading their division. You know, San Diego's a team that I think is putting it together. I thought when we saw them early that they should be better, and it seems like they're getting it together now. They've had injuries, no doubt, but they've got a lot of different weapons. And they can do a lot of things offensively when they're hot. I still think the Braves. I think the Braves are formidable in that they've got a lot of pop in their lineup. And if they get to October with those three starters healthy, rested, and pitching well, they're going to be a really tough team to beat. I mean, Fried, Sale, and Lopez—they're going to be really tough. The Phillies know that. They've, you know, done a number on Fried. There's no doubt, but Sale. Sales look good every time we've seen him. He's looked good just about every time out this year. He's an all-star. Lopez looked great the other day in Atlanta. So I think what you do is you look for, because you know the Phillies are going to be in the postseason. So you look for those teams that have a collection right there. And the Braves still have a collection of starters that can beat the Phillies. So, you know, if they get to the finish line healthy, it would not be an easy series by any stretch.
What is it meant to getting? I mean, it's great to get guys back. I talked about Schwarber. There's Harper, Brandon Marsh. What does it mean getting him back?
Yeah, and him finding his swing again.
Yes,
man, that's big. You know, last weekend in Atlanta, the Phillies lineup looked a lot like, say, the Braves and Dodgers lineups, which was four or five guys, very, very top-heavy, and the bottom is kind of a catch-all, right? And you see all these, I don't know, 100-something averages, right, at the bottom of a lineup. And the Phillies were running that out, you know, Pache and Merrifield and guys that have struggled. But they're starting. And now you add Schwarber and Harper back into the mix, and Marsh is batting seventh, and he's swinging the bat well. Now you have damage coming from all parts of the order, and they use the term length in the lineup. Well, it certainly does that to have a guy like him back.
Is there anything that you look at that, like, every once in a while you look out and go, God, I gotta be a little bit better there, even though they're playing great? But, like, you know, you and I both know, if you take care of the little things, the big things take care of themselves. Or any little things that sometimes they miss?
Yeah, I mean, the little thing to me is they need they could use a right-handed bat that really kills lefties.
Yeah,
I just think you're going to come into a spot in the postseason, and I'm not saying it's somebody who starts, but I'm saying it's somebody who can come off the bench and put together an at bat against the lefty. Now, Whit Merrifield may turn into that guy. He hasn't yet. That's what they envision him being, right? But they're going to need somebody who can come off the bench and hit for someone like Marsh against the lefty late in the game, because they're going to face it. They're going to face it over and over and over again. So that, to me, is one area where they absolutely have to improve. And it doesn't mean you go get a superstar, mm-hmm. but it means you go get a role player who could accept his role. Think of how much mileage the Phillies got out of Matt Stairs back in the day, right?
Oh, yes.
To know that you have a guy come off the bench as a left-handed pinch hitter, and he could do damage. And I think they need that same kind of thing.
When Sunday rolls in, it'll be game 96. That means at that point there'll be 62 regular season games remaining. In terms of the timing of the break, especially for the vast majority of the roster, is this the good time to have it happen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a certain number of games that's better or worse, but you get a little bit past certainly the halfway point. You know, with this thing with Wheeler and his back, it allows them to kind of sit on that for a little bit. He doesn't have to go on the IL, I think. It's really great that, you know, they can line up their rotation however they want coming out of the break. So Wheeler could essentially get 2 weeks off and not have to go on the IL. Which would be great, you know, for not only just healing up the back, but, you know, keeping his arm fresh for September and October. Yeah, I mean, I think for everybody, you get to this point in the season and you can use a little break. You know, seven guys are going to have to go to Texas. They're going to be, they're not going to get a little, much of a break anyways. But I do think that these guys relish that. I think they embrace the idea that, that they can get a few days off and they can chill out for a little bit and sort of get ready for the second half.
How are you going to chill out?
I'm actually going to California, so I'm not chilling out at all. We're getting on a plane Sunday night, and family and I, and we got a little mini family reunion, more of a mother-in-law birthday situation. So,
well done. Happy
birthday.
So
I'm going to be flying cross-country. I'm going to do what I do every week, and that's why I'm somewhere.
Well, happy birthday to the mother-in-law along the way.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll give you some time to get ready for the Sacramento, I mean Oakland A's, okay?
Exactly. All right. Thank you.
Hey, Scott. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Talk to you again soon.
Scott Fransky, the outstanding and legendary play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia Phillies, getting him out of the gate. We'll talk to Tim Kirchen in the next hour. I think the interview, just so you know, I think made the suit happy. No?
I don't know what part of the Phillies we didn't cover.
I mean, I asked him some different questions.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I mean, I'm talking about the pitching coaches, about getting more work for relievers, things like that. There are probably a lot of questions that he doesn't normally get asked. You know, because everybody always ask about Harper right away. Hey, how's Harper doing? Yeah, that's great. you see, Paul Skeens was named the All-Star Game starter.
I did. They actually did something smart.
Well, but not only that, but it's also a natural day for him to pitch. He pitched yesterday. So he's not pitching today, tomorrow, or Sunday. And he's not pitching Monday, obviously. It would actually be the natural time for him to go out there, so it makes sense. But he's also earned the spot beyond making sense. And Torrey Lovello named him, and it was, you know, look, here. America knows about him, but again, I keep making the point, America hasn't seen him. I mean, we've seen him. We're in Pennsylvania. We see him every single start. But America hasn't seen him, especially on that kind of stage on Fox on a Tuesday night with Aaron Judge coming up in the first inning. Right? Now, he'll strike Judge out because, I mean, it's a big game and Judge doesn't perform well in big games. But, I mean, what? No? I said that for Matt's sake.
Oh, I know whose sake it was for.
Well, Jerry Royce, by the way, the last Pirate to start the All-Star game, that was back in 1975. You never thought you'd see here or hear Jerry Royce's name mentioned on the show, but he's there.
Was it him, or is he the one that said that the Dodgers pitcher went out and painted the town beige?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember that.
Oh, I forget who he was talking about. That's always what I. That's one of my favorite quotes. He was so boring, he went out and painted the town beige.
Okay. Oh, goodness gracious. All right. We'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. Paul Skeens, the starter in the All-Star game. Right time, right move. Kyle Lowry's going to re-sign with the Sixers. 1 year deal. He's 38 now. He can give them some valuable minutes. Get out there. You know, you've got a team that has Maxey, has Paul George, has Joel Embiid. Hey, Lowry has a role and can be good in that role. And he's won a title. So why not? The Dennis Dodd conversation yesterday, I thought was interesting, especially the part where we were talking about Florida State and Clemson. And Dennis was emphatic. Todd, don't you think, when he said the Big Ten doesn't want them, the SEC doesn't want them? I found that to be, I mean, that wasn't a subtle diplomatic comment on his part. I thought it was a line in the sand emphatic comment.
I was going to say, there's no caveat there.
Right. I mean, there was no gray area.
And I think the other point he made there is probably right, too, that, you know, if it is the Big 12 for those two, they probably are going to be disappointed.
Oh, they're going to be massively disappointed because they want the big payday. They both feel like Notre Dame felt when they put together their TV deal. Notre Dame, remember what Notre Dame's initial, and it was again, it's a negotiating salvo. Right, so I understand that completely. We want $75 million. Well, why did they say $75 million? Because that had been the rumored number that Big Ten schools on the average would get. Well, we're as popular as they are, at least in their opinion. We want the same thing. And you and I both said they'd probably get 45 to 50, and they got 50. Okay? Because that's how negotiating goes. Now let's get to Florida State and Clemson. They each feel they deserve, based on who they are, $75 million a year on average. And they're both very good brands who have played, Clemson especially in recent years, they've played better than Florida State. Since 2013, Florida State, until last year, had been kind of a mixed bag, and had really kind of fallen back in terms of the national consciousness, till, to their credit, they started playing a lot better, and Jordan Travis at quarterback played a lot better. They don't have him any longer. And the and that's, to me, that's a big question for them. Can they continue to stay that high and relevant? Because they went through years where they were irrelevant. So now let's get back to the idea of, are they worth $75 million a year? And again, if they were to go to either the Big Ten or the SEC and they want a full cut, they have to make the entire pie better for everybody. Well, the Florida market. Oh, please. Okay, this is. It's about some. It's some of that. I've changed so much on this over the years. I used to believe it was just markets too. Now it's brands. To go with market. I mean, you can have both, and make it work. I mean, is it really like gung ho that you really need the Portland, Oregon market? No, but the Oregon brand. Okay, that helps. I mean, if the Portland, Oregon market were so important to you, why do they only have the Blazers? Right? They don't have any other pro teams. They have a football team, basketball, football team, hockey team. Tried to get the Penguins. or a baseball team. Now they're trying to get an expansion team in baseball. But it's about brands. Now, Florida State's a really good brand. Clemson's a really good brand. But Dennis was emphatic that, no, the Big Ten doesn't want these. And the SEC, they don't want them.
Well, you know, by brand, it's probably 5 years too late for Clemson and probably 15 to 20 years too late for Florida State. I mean,
yeah.
I think Florida State's kind of in the Nebraska boat where they were once a great program, still think they're a great program, and they're kind of in that, have been in that second tier for the last 12, 15 years since Bobby Bowden retired.
Well, let's at least give this caveat. Nebraska has not been to a bowl game in 8 years.
Wow.
Not a lot of people don't realize that. Florida State at least was in the conversation to be one of the four teams in the playoff after an undefeated season last year. Now, that's last year, but still it does mean that based on last year, there's relevancy. How about that? But that's what struck me. The other part that struck me is we're talking about the College Football Playoff Committee and the comments that were made by Rich Clark, who is now the new head of it. And I really know very little about him other than, the military background and so forth that he has and, great military background. But Dennis, I thought, gave a glowing review of what this guy can mean because he said there are a lot of elements where he has ideas. Some people think they're great ideas, and that he thinks a little bit outside the box. So thought that part was interesting too. Now, Clark was mostly talking about, from his committee's point of view, about prepping sites. Okay. That you have to have certain preparations and precautions that need to be taken when you're hosting because of the 2-week turnaround. So that's why he mentioned things like ticket sales, weather, things like that, hotels. Hotels are to bring committee people there and to get teams there. Right? Weather prep, not quite sure about that. That doesn't really...
I'm guessing to get the symbols on the symbols and the advertising on the field and stuff.
Probably. It probably has something to do with it. You know, so it's a little more business big picture than, well, we're not going to pick you because it's cold. Can't do that. But I thought, you know, he gave a glowing review of him. But I go back to the Florida State and Clemson deal, and he it almost seemed like he was adamant. I don't want to speak for him, but boy, he didn't leave any gray area as to what sources were telling him. How about that?
And the other part is it sounds like they're both going to be able to get out as long, you know, once the negotiations are up too. So that makes it, well, at least Florida State. He said he thought Florida State would get out.
Oh, I think they'll get out, but they'll pay.
Yeah, they'll pay. And the question is if
the number is going to be, I've got the number here. Here's the range. I think it's something like 150 to 572 million. Somewhere in there. I know it's a big range, but there are a lot of factors as to why the range is the way it is. Well, 150 to 572 million. I mean, wow. 572 million. And remember, they were talking about this before they knew about the 22 million a year they have to kick into athletes.
Like, where does the state of Florida come up with that kind of money?
Well, I think it would be up to Florida State itself to raise the money.
Yeah.
Now, could they raise the money through private equity? Massive donors, investments? I don't know. I don't know.
Because can this? I mean, not to pay it, but do the states and these state schools have a say in some of this and how this money is spent?
See, for example, like if they just announced Penn State's appropriation yesterday and it's going to stay flat for the fifth consecutive year. Athletics doesn't get anything from that appropriation here. That doesn't mean in other states it doesn't happen, but athletics does not get a dime of it here. So, hey, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You know what's interesting about the conference realignment is what it's done to schedules. I know there's always complaints about schedules, like, oh, they got Bowling Green, they got Kent State. And I got it. You're paying for those games. So I understand. It's not like I don't understand. But I always tell people when it's brought up to me, I said, look, you can't play Michigan and Ohio State every week. I mean, along the way, you have to somebody else along there that you have to play. Penn State.
Hey, Scott. I don't know where that came from. Hey, Steve, we have Brian from Northern Virginia on the line.
Brian's on. Hi, Brian. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I was just calling to weigh in. You were bringing up the issue about, for example, Florida State and where they're going to come up with the money. And I know Todd had raised comments about, well, where does the state come up with it? So just a couple of things generally that I have awareness from living in the living in that area previously was that, you know, they get money, their athletics department will get money from the general funds of the university as well as from donors and whatnot. But as Todd had said, after, you know, they kind of hit a rough patch where they kind of fell into that Nebraska type of an area, a lot of their Seminole booster contributions were down, their membership was down. And so what they started doing to try to raise funds, what to my knowledge, is they were investing in real estate. And there's an area of student housing down around where the football stadium is in Tallahassee, around where the some parts of the university is. They call it College Town. And there's basically residential and commercial properties that basically the Seminole boosters own. And they act as basically landlords. And so they're trying to get money to fund their athletic department by charging rent and leases and things like that.
And so, again, I also think, Brian, they're going to attempt to put together some private equity, which brings with it some peril to it. It's not an absolute solution, but my understanding is they're going to go after private equity, and they've talked to people on Wall Street about it.
Yes, and the problem is going to be with that, if they go the private equity firm route, is that they're going to lose a significant portion of the ownership of their brand, their rights, their income. So it's a short-term gain for a long-term loss, along with a lot of other control. I mean, they're still, even though they had a decent year last year, remember, they're still renovating their stadium, their football stadium, but they're reducing capacity by about 15,000 to 20,000 seats. So, you know, they're having some issues, and that's why I'm not, you know, surprised from Mr. Dodd's comments that, you know, the Big Ten and the SEC aren't really interested in them, because they're really just kind of more of a regional kind of a brand. Fan base isn't really as strong, but I just wanted to throw that in there because I think it's pretty unusual that, you know, you have a booster club that's basically investing in real estate and acting as a landlord to try to get money for their football program.
Never knew that. Never realized it. It is interesting. It's clever. It also means if anything goes into disrepair, you have to repair it.
Yep, absolutely.
So it's not perfect investment.
Yeah, I wanted to throw that out. And then the only other thing I was just going to raise, I don't know if you were going to talk about it or not, but apparently it was Andy Staples had written an article about, you know, college football blue blood, and he put Penn State on the blue blood list, but he said that unless, you know, we start getting to the playoffs, he's on the verge of, you know, saying that we should be removed from that consideration, which I think is ludicrous. But anyway, I didn't know if you had seen that, but he had made the same comments about Penn State, Notre Dame, apparently. So,
well, look, if you get into the 11, you know, and you're somebody with long-standing history, like Penn State has long-standing history, and they get into the 11, you're a blue blood. Now, I didn't say 12 because the group of five gets a team. Sorry, the group of five is not going to be a blue blood.
Right. I would agree. And plus with our wins, bowl history, fan base, everything, it's pretty ludicrous to not think we are a blue blood. But anyway, that's just an ongoing, you know, kind of like clickbait and fodder for fan bases.
Yeah, it gets you to click on there. Here's one here, right? FBS all-time win tiers. It's a pyramid. So Michigan is the top of the pyramid. Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Alabama, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Nebraska are on the next tier. Great. I mean, it's the off season, Brian. All sorts of stuff is written just to keep something alive.
Oh, exactly. No, I agree, but I'm happy that you're discussing some of these issues with realignment, but also a lot of the perils, kind of the monetary aspect. Like, I hope Penn State doesn't ever go like the private equity route, because I don't want Penn State to lose control over its own, you know, destiny, so to speak, where it loses out on the ability to make all of its own decisions, where other schools or the Big 12 or whoever may be tied to some financial investment firm. So, I think
you make again, when you get involved, okay, there are always unintended consequences. And I bring that phrase up all the time. And when I've ever brought it up to James Franklin, he'll look at me and go, oh, yeah. Because you're always, he and I, whenever we talk about that, he'll look at me and go, oh, yeah. Because you have to think of that. And private equity, the money looks great, but what are the strings that are tied to it? And that's where you have to make the big decision. Are the strings worth it?
Yep. You don't want to be Red Lobster.
and I did the Red Lobster piece. If you go back in the podcast, I don't know, a month ago, I did an entire half hour on Red Lobster. And I think their food's good.
I'll tell you, it's relevant. Just, you know, as money becomes harder to find, and just like you said, the media pie is not infinite. It's finite. And they run out of money just like everybody else can. So they've got to be creative, but you have to be smart about what you're doing. So,
right. Again.
But as always, thank you so much, Steve. I really appreciate it. Great show. Learning a lot. And you have a great weekend and a great week of vacation next week.
Hey, Brian, thanks so much. Always appreciate it. You add so much to the show, including some great info I didn't know about today myself. Thank you so much.
All right. You take care. Have a great
one. Thank you, Brian.
Too.
You too, Brian. Brian calling from Northern Virginia. Tim Kirchen in the next half hour. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. Tim Kirchen, next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.